Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
So, Joey, you go to nbcsports.com/northwest/badash. Okay?
Got it.
That's just the easy way to get there.
It is.
And here to tell us more about Breakout with Badash is Ashley Nicole Badash Lewis. Ashley Nicole Lewis joining us this morning. What's up, kid?
What's up? Well, hello. Good morning.
How in the heck
Hi,
are
Ashley.
You?
I'm good. I'm so excited that it's been a little bit sunny, and now I could finally go out and start chasing some other species and saying goodbye to winter steelhead and looking forward to other things. So super excited.
No doubt. Well, it was a lot of fun having you on the boat last month now in March out there at CQ. And, you know, I don't know. You were pretty excited about the whole blackmouth program, but you were also pretty excited. Hey, are there any tide pools? Are there any tide pools in front of this place over
she
here?
She wanted to forage.
So down the beach you go on a little gathering expedition, and you found some pretty cool stuff that's also going to be on a future episode of Breakout with Badash. What did you find in your foraging expedition up the beach, kid?
Yeah, so like you can see this point from this area that we were staying, and I'm like, okay, there could be stuff there. You go around the corner, and holy cow, this huge area opens up. The whole thing's alive. There's birds flying, and like sea lions and seals barking, and there are sea urchins everywhere. There are mussels everywhere, and I even found rock scallops. I never found an actual scallop. I just knew that people dive for them, and I just happened to walk upon one, you know, Googled it, and I'm like, oh, I found scallops. So I found all sorts of things, some of which I will show how I cook up and enjoy in a future episode. And mussels is just really one of those things that is so approachable. If you find an area that's open for harvest, you know, they're super easy to gather, super easy to cook. And that's one of the things that I love about the show is we're showing, you know, everything from salmon and steelhead and the things that we love, but there's a lot in your backyard if you're willing to go out and explore with minimal gear and things like that. So lots coming up.
What about those sea urchins? You mentioned grabbing some sea urchins, and I know folks eat them. I've never tried them. Did you actually try doing something with those, Ashley?
Yeah, so I did. And then I want to go back and try to get some more because there are actually so many ways that you can cook them up. For these, I just wanted to try them. I just kind of cracked open the shell. You kind of cut a hole in the bottom of them, and then the uni, the good innards expose themselves. You kind of rinse it out, and you can enjoy it like that. But I've seen some really cool videos on how you can cook it up with a little bit of rice and some different seasonings and really enjoy them that way, too. So I thought I'd make another trip back to the coast and gather some more and give it a shot. But why not? I mean, we have it. They're easy to – they don't run away. I mean, they're kind of stuck where they are. So it's
right?
fun to
yeah.
go and gather them and try it out.
Wait. Well, urchins aren't migratory?
Yeah, but what brought you there was the blackmouth fishing. And you guys had some fantastic fishing out there. Talk about that a little bit. And not only catching them, but cooking them too, Ashley.
Yeah, so I'm so glad to have gone out on the boat with the crew. What a fun crew. And that boat, holy cow, so comfortable, beautiful boat. I was warm the whole time. That's just something in itself when you're headed out to CQ in March. But I learned a lot from Tom, and I'm so excited that we got to show that on the show, the different techniques and the gear, but really some of the philosophies around how we were targeting these fish, and that there were kind of two different runs of fish that we had, and when we switched up our technique a little bit to go after each. So we had, you know, springers coming in on one side, blackmouth going out on the other side, and we did modify the way that we approached both of those fish. So great learning opportunity. We were able to catch some fish. The episode turned out amazing. Some of the sunsets that we saw, like, made for a really wonderful episode. So that piece, there was a lot to learn. And I think a lot for people to enjoy and a lot to get out of. And then the cooking, that's coming up. Tom's going to school me up more on that one, though.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we just got back from the Columbia, so I'm going to be doing a little further culinary experimentation today a little later with a fresh printer. but Ashley, I love your vision for the show. And you use the term approachable outdoors. You're crabbing from the beach using a heavy-duty rod and a crab claw. You don't have to have a 30-foot Duckworth with two heaters to go experience the outdoors. It's nice on a cold day, but a lot of the stuff you're doing requires boots and an attitude, and that's kind of what I'm looking forward to seeing as this thing moves forward. So what are some of the other things you're looking at, other areas on the coast and other activities that you're looking at pursuing?
Yeah, and you're so right, and especially in the last year, we have a lot of new people that have come to hunting and fishing, and I know that you guys know this, and as you know, somebody who spent their life in the outdoors, I feel like we all kind of have this responsibility to help mentor them and kind of coach them and show them what opportunities are out there, what outdoor etiquette looks like, things like that. So going forward, it's going to be a lot of those approachable opportunities again. So things that people are good gateway, fishing opportunities, if you will, high lakes trout. So there are trout lakes all over Washington and Oregon that are stocked, overstocked even. And you can take a nice camping trip, throw a tent in a backpack, go up into these alpine areas, fish a lake that has trout that you're going to have success fishing in. And I show you how you can approach those things easily. Again, not a ton of gear that you need to attack the pellet bellies, right? I mean, they're good biters. They're fun to fish. And who doesn't want
pellet bellies? That's so we were over at Rufus Woods with Austin Mosier. We were after the pellet infested Rufus Woods rainbow. We were calling them dumpster bear trout, right?
Dumpster bear trout.
But the pellet bellies may just be the new name for those critters over there. But Ashley, so this series airs on NBCSports.com. Okay. NBCSports.com/Northwest/Badass. You can walk through a couple menus and find it yourself. And I'm seeing our episode up there. I'm seeing, how to clean, cook, and enjoy fresh caught crab. And again, I got to commend you on your approach to this, because we do. We have so many folks that are new to the outdoors that really, don't have a great way to, learn how to enjoy this. Because I tell you what. It's a bad day in the Ensley and Nelson and Pyburn household if we're not eating salmon or crab or fresh, springers or, elk or halibut or something like that. Because this stuff is not only more flavorful, but it's healthier for you as well.
And it gets you out doing it,
bingo,
right?
And bingo.
I really enjoyed the crab episode. I haven't watched ours yet because I've had enough of you and me.
Joy, I haven't seen in 8 hours, man.
But the crab, cool. It's being able to go out and just cast out. Everybody's got a rod, heavy line, throw out and catch these crab without a boat or a big crab pot. Anybody can go do that. And I love that.
Absolutely.
She said it's a gateway.
There you go.
Yeah. It's like drugs. Trust me, fishing and hunting is like a drug. And she's providing the gateway to a life of endless experiences and fun and great food. That's what the outdoors is. It's all of those things.
And Ashley, reflect for just a minute on how fortunate you were to have grown up like this. Because if you weren't brought up with some experience in the outdoors and you come to it at this point in your life, I mean, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage. So tell us a little bit about, your upbringing and, how you were introduced to the outdoors.
Yeah, here's the thing. I was raised by a single mother. She raised me and my two siblings by herself. She worked at Simpson Door Company Mill in McClary, where the family of, loggers and woodmill workers. She worked hard to raise us, and our family trips were to places like CQ, to places like the Oregon coast, to the Northern California area. Fishing was our vacation and what we looked forward to, camping, and even, bird hunting and, things like that, squirrels and stuff like that. And so what I took from that was that, you know, you don't need to have dad or grandpa or whatever to go out and enjoy and do these things. My mom always raised me that if it's something that I want to do, that I just have to go out and do it. And she always supported me in any of those endeavors. I quit piano to do karate. I quit, you know, horse things to do fishing things. And she was always my number one supporter of that. And so to me, I never felt that intimidation around like, oh, is fishing something a girl can do? The first time you had me on the show was talking about my guiding service. So I spent, you know, many years as a salmon and steelhead guide. And that was just really an extension of that upbringing. And even more, and I think the show is a little, well, very much about this too. You guys know this too. When you take people into these places, CQ, the Olympic Peninsula, and they see, you know, the sunrise and the river reveals itself and you hear some fish splashing around. Man, that is something you just have to be there for. No one can tell you. You just have to be there for it. And I think that the show, inviting people to go out and do something and then to have success at it, you really have to be there to start caring about these places. So the kind of undertone of all of this is, we can do a better job at taking care of these places when we go out and experience them and know about them and buy a license and actually financially support these places as well. So that's kind of the inspiration the love behind it.
And I've said this over and over and over again, but you absolutely will not care about what you do not experience. And if you don't get out, and the greatest favor that all the elk and all the deer and all the salmon and all the trout and all the ducks and all the geese and all the crab and all the shrimp have done is make us go to the places in which we seek these animals. And that's the real world. That's the real world to me. The real world is not on the internet. It's not on i5 and it's not on TV. Mm-hmm. It's outside. So break out with Bad Ash, nbcsports.com/northwest/Bad Ash. And I heard you try to invite yourself back out to CQ. I heard that, Ashley. So we'll have to discuss that a little bit later.
For our next trip at CQ.
Yes, exactly. All right, kid. Well, good luck with your new show and please keep in touch. All right.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, friends.
Thanks, Ashley.
All right, kid.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
The spring Chinook season on the lower Columbia River is set to run through this weekend and will close after April 4th. Guide Eric Lindy from Lindy Sport Fishing said the big front that came through this past week slowed the bite down quite a bit. He thought the bite would pick back up again as the weather got better later in the week, and that's exactly what happened. Lindy's been trolling cut plug herring behind a fish flash and sometimes with nothing at all in front of it. Been catching some springers on the Columbia River. The allowable catch plus release mortalities for the Columbia River below Bonneville Dam is for just over 2,200 spring Chinook. After the season closes, the Columbia River Compact will meet to discuss whether enough fish are left in the quota to allow for another opener.
Hurricane winds hit Mount Rainier. Last Sunday's winds of 40 to 60 miles an hour raked western Washington, but that was nothing compared to what happened on Mount Rainier. The wind gauge at Camp Muir on the side of Rainier recorded 14 consecutive hours of wind gusts over 100 miles an hour. An incredible gust of 143 was recorded during sustained wind reports of 119. How's that? 119 sustained 143 gusts. That put the wind on top of Mount Rainier on a par with a Cat 3 hurricane. Wow.
This weekend is the youth turkey hunt, which happens statewide. Youth hunters need to be accompanied by an adult over 18 years of age to be able to hunt this weekend and also must possess a hunting license and a turkey tag. It's a great opportunity for youth hunters to get a crack at a turkey prior to the season opener coming soon.
The general turkey season opener is a little over a week and a half away on April 15th. With the season running through the end of May, Northeast Washington, is still the best area in the state for turkey hunting, with just over 66% of the harvest occurring there in 2019. Southeast Washington, Okanagan County, the Tiana Way, and the Klickitat area also produce a fair amount of turkeys each year. Check out the WDFW website for more information about the upcoming turkey season here in Washington.
Two options left for Westside Steelheaders. Coastal steelhead opportunities dried up this past week with closure of Forks Area River's Winter Steelhead on April 4th. Anglers still have two more openers on the popular catch-release season on the Skagit and Sauk Rivers. Parts of both rivers will be open Saturday through Tuesday two more times before they close down on April 15th for the season. In southwest Washington, Cowlitz River is still open for winter steelhead and should fish well for another few weeks as Bee Run returns back to the Blue Creek Hatchery. Stay tuned for Todd Daniels' Tall Tale Guide Service interview detailing this fishery next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
WDFW has been busy planning a bunch of the year-round lakes around western Washington with stocker trout. The trout whisperer himself, Dave Johnson from Kitsap Marina, was at Kitsap Lake last weekend and he said the trout fishing was red hot. WDFW planted just over 4,800 trout in Kitsap and Dave said the average is around 15 inches. He caught a couple around the 17-inch range also. Dave was trolling a woolly bugger fly and small spoons and said the fish were hitting right on the surface first thing in the morning. Johnson mentioned that at the shop at Kitsap Marina, they're starting to get busy and folks that need any outboard work should get their boats in the shop before it gets too slammed. With shrimp, halibut, ling, and the Lowland Lake opener right around the corner, now is the time to get in and get your service work done.
Nathan LaFrance at the Marlin Resort Tackle Shop said the fishing is starting to pick up on Potholes Reservoir. Nathan said the bass are starting to move into the shallows, and there was a 7.3-pounder weighed in last weekend in the ABA Bass Tournament that was held on the lake. Nathan said the full moon we had last Tuesday should have kicked the walleye into spawn mode, and folks should start seeing more of them hanging around the mouths of Lynn Cooley and Winchester Wasteway as they stage to spawn. The walleye will spawn from now until the next full moon on April 26th. For updated fishing reports on Potholes Reservoir, give the shop a call at 509-346-2651.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
So if you follow the Outdoor Line on social media, you probably need to click on that right now. We've got you got Northwest Bass, you know, has absolutely outdone themselves. And together with Berkeley, you've got the Northwest Big Bass Tournament with over $60,000 in cash and prizes. And here to run this drill down is Ben Conley of Pure Fishing Itself. Good morning, Bill. Ben Conley.
Good morning, Ben. How you doing, man?
Morning, Ben.
Good.
Well, so
tell us
so
about
got...
the Berkeley Big Bass Tournament coming up. It's next weekend. Tell us about what you got going on there, buddy.
Basically, it's probably the easiest tournament to fish. We will be giving away $2,000 to the biggest fish every hour. If you happen to be using an Abu rod and reel, which we would greatly encourage, we will also pay you another $1,000. And we're doing this every hour, so you have seven chances to win. And then, on top of all that, one of those seven winners will also have a chance to win a brand new Skeeter ZX 150 bass boat.
Now there are some serious sticks gunning for this particular event, man. And last time that we had this event, I mean, last year obviously it was due to the statewide closure, everything was closed, right? But in 2019, there's 174 teams participating. You can still get into this event right now. But yeah, I tell you what, seven chances to win, $2,000 every hour. Okay, and then there's other hourly prizes as well. If you get the second biggest fish, it's $750. Third place, $500 for every hour. But every one of the hourly winners gets a key, and if they stick that key in the ignition and it turns, you win that boat. So what a great deal. And this is all, and if it wasn't for Mardon Resort, you wouldn't have such a tremendous venue. So hats off to Mardon for sure. And boy, this is a big lift for Pure Fishing Abu Garcia. I mean, if it wasn't for Berkeley, this thing wouldn't be happening either, Ben Conley.
Oh yeah, no, it's really easy to do. And we wanted to make an event that was welcoming to all anglers. You don't have to be a pro bass guy to go out and do this. Really, it's just going to take one fish and you can win a boat. We've got parents, we got grandparents, we got guys that do this on a regular basis, and we have a lot of newcomers. It's really just a great opportunity to get out, have a little bit of fun. You know, using the Berkeley stuff, we make a lot of products, and it is really easy to get out there and just catch a fish. And yeah, you have a shot at it. We're guaranteeing, first place every hour, the 2,000. And if we hit, if we can exceed what we did last time, yeah, I'll pay out additional places as much as I can.
Well, I talked to Nathan LaFrance at the Mardon shop a couple of days ago, and they're as well stocked with Berkeley gear as anyone in Eastern Washington right now, with all the bass and walleye gear and stuff in there. And Nathan said the bass are really moving up right now. There was some big bass weighed in last weekend, including that 7.3 pounder. And he said the largemouth are really moving in back on the beaver huts and stuff back in the dunes. And it should be good, man. I pulled the weather forecast too for this week. It looks the afternoons are warm over there. I wouldn't be surprised to see those things hitting frogs too back in the huts and somewhere back in there hitting the topwater stuff. So it's lining up for a good tournament, buddy. And it's pretty exciting how this bass thing has evolved here in the Northwest, and really become a big deal out here. And now we've got some pros on the national circuit coming out of here now. Brandon Polinick, of course, Luke Clausen.
Luke Clausen,
steelhead
yeah.
fishing buddy of mine, but Luke Clausen, yeah. Just some some ringers coming out of the Northwest here. It's pretty cool, man, to follow this and see where it's come.
Oh yeah, no, it's great, especially those guys you just mentioned. I've been in this industry for 16 years now in just the fishing side of things, and I got to see them get their start. I mean, I used to sell them gear, it's really impressive how many warm water anglers are coming out of the Northwest, and there is a lot of opportunity. I think people don't realize how much there is, especially in Western Washington, for bass fishing.
And it's a lot of fun. It's the Berkeley Northwest Big Bass Tournament, April 10th. That's next Saturday. 7 chances to win, $2,000 every hour, $60,000 in cash and prizes. Okay, and thanks to Nixon's Marine, thanks to Northwest Bass, obviously Mardon Resort. Log on to northwestbass.com to register. You can still sign up and go do it. But again, go get involved with the Berkeley Big Bass Tournament. Ben Conley of Pure Fishing, thank you very much for your time and helping us walk through this. We'll talk
thanks,
to you soon. Got to get you over here. Get your rod bent, bud.
No, I appreciate it, guys.
See you, Ben.
All right.
Have
talk
a good weekend,
Ben.
Man.
All right. Talk to you soon, Ben. Thank you so much. All right, pop out of here for a quick break. Let's go steelheading on the Cowlitz, shall we? Todd Daniels, Tall Tales Guide Service, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Tall Tales Guide Service is the website of our next guest, none other than Todd River Dog Daniels. What's up, Todd Daniels?
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
Good. Are you on the kicker motor right
good,
now?
Dude.
What are you doing, buddy? Are you backing down river right now?
You can probably hear the kicker motor through the speaker. Yes, that is correct.
Nice.
I'm multitasking tying leaders, watching these guys make really good casts right now, and steering with my rear end.
So yeah, steering with your leg. I know, you got your leg on the kicker motor, or you have it somewhere else for that matter, and backing down. Now, are you bobber dogging? You side drifting? What are you doing, Todd?
Yeah, buddy, we're I'm going to call it about 3 years ago, like in the wintertime here, virtually, I don't know, 80% of everybody switched over to bobber dogging, just for the simple reason that just, as we talked about before, you lose less gear. It's incredibly effective. You know, and if you're hitting a nice line and the boat gets kicked out a little bit, you can open up your bail or reel in a little bit and you can stay right in the right line. And it just, it works. And it works with multiple rods in the boat and things like that. And, yeah, man, it's cool. And, you know, there's only about 40 boats here that I can see as I'm talking to you right now. Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
But, some net flying out. We got a fish in the boat already. So, life is good right now, man. Got a little vacation, just got back, and it's pretty cool. You come back from vacation and you get to go back the next day and you get to go fishing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the weather's been nice, too. You know, it's amazing how those stick weights, it's amazing how they just don't hang up. They just snake right through everything on the bottom. They're so thin that they just kind of ride up over everything. They don't get hung up. Gosh, I remember when I guided, I couldn't tie leaders fast enough. I mean, constantly I had rods laying over on the side, tying leaders on, getting them baited up, throwing them back in. But this way, it's so much more effective. Your gear is always fishing. I would imagine you probably got a mix of beads and eggs out there. Are you fishing all beads, or what are you guys doing nowadays?
There's soft beads, hard beads, bait, you name it. You know, this time of year, you know, you're getting into April, these fish kind of, you know, particularly up here, you know, closer to the Blue Creek stretch, they kind of will start stacking up in the holes. And it's not 100% so much of what you cast at it, but where. Sometimes they're literally sitting in a five-gallon bucket, and he who gets in there the best, or she, will catch all the fish, even though there's a whole ton of boats around. And once you figure out that little pattern up here, it's pretty cool. And as you guys have seen some pictures and whatnot, there's some toads in here this year.
Tankers down there.
Pre-salt fish. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They're oh my gosh, they're fun. So.
Have you heard of any springers being caught yet? Because everybody at this time of year is when somebody pops a springer in there.
Yeah. There's already been, in fact, there's already been a few summer runs caught too. Speaking of as well.
Okay. No kidding.
There's been a handful of springers. Unfortunately, on the callus this year, we have to let them go.
Right.
So you know. Put them in the net or whatever, or pop the hook and tell everybody how cool we are, and hopefully they go spawn so we have some opportunity in a few years. So we'll see what happens.
I feel the pain of having to let a big springer go yesterday myself, Todd. So I know the pain of which you speak, but it's interesting. interesting that you mentioned a summer run because I heard that from somebody else earlier this week. So by now, a hatchery steelhead, a typical early arriver hatchery winter steelhead, is going to be showing a little road rash, right? A little, you know, and do they still recycle them at times from the hatchery on down, make them do the run again, punch their tail and stuff?
Not for the winter runs. They do in the summer run, not the winter.
Gotcha.
But once they tell us, pass us, that's the other line.
Tell us what you see when you know, you're looking at a fish, what makes it a summer run rather than a winter fish? What's it look like?
Well, first off, you know, the typical, these early part of the fish, you know, the early summer and the little pilot run, we'll call it. They're typically a little bit smaller, you know, 6-7 pounders. And the fins are virtually translucent almost. I mean, the two toners, as we call them, you know, very dark back, very, you know, snow white belly.
Black and white practically.
Yep,
just
black and white, exactly.
And, platinum printed.
You know, the other thing is too, they'll spend, you know, a majority of the time out of the water as opposed to in the water when you're fighting them too, which is pretty cool.
Do we have any clue what the forecast is, Todd, for summer runs in the Cowlitz this year? Is it a year to freaking go steal somebody's jet sled and roll on down there? What are you hearing? What are the numbers anticipated for that summer run?
We're at a full smolt plant this year, which is, don't quote me 100%. We're in that 600-650,000 on the summer runs as well. So,
nice.
So we should, you know, full speed.
Are you going to fish on those, Todd?
Yes, sir. We'll be down here about the middle.
Okay. Then we don't have to steal a jet boat. We just go fish with Todd.
So I'm going to grab a horse from Joe Poteet back in Wyoming and put on my Ben Cartwright hat and get down and I'll do the Haas Cartwright deal with my horse on your sled with my cowboy hat and go steal.
Hey,
fish.
Todd.
There you go.
Todd, I need you to send me another T-shirt. I wear Todd's Tall Tales Guide Service T-shirt every fishing trip. I wear it, and I don't shower when I'm fishing it.
I can vouch for him there.
And it is a mess. I need a freshie.
Stand up on its own now next to your bed, huh?
Yeah.
So Todd, how much longer is this fisher going to go, buddy? How much longer is the steelhead fisher going to go in there
for you?
Yeah,
so we're just past the peak now, historically. Mm-hmm. So it usually will die out, you know, pretty darn quick right around the middle of this month. So I'm down here through the 15th, and then, you know, that's about it. You know, in years past, we just switched right over to springers, but unfortunately, they're not here this year, so you know, we're going to, you know, reset everything and got a few other things up my sleeve in between now and that Skycomish opener. And, you know, then we'll hit that, you know, full bore ahead. So we're good on that.
Is that your next
guys,
move?
Go ahead. Roll over. Go switch sides. I'm sorry. Right, go ahead, guys.
Got to recast.
Is that your next move, Todd? Kind of thinking about the Skycomish?
Yep. Yes, sir. It opens up the Saturday Memorial weekend and, as you guys know, I think we're at right around 9,000 on the summer Chinook down there. So, and, you know,
that's good.
So packed. I think we're going to get one, especially if I have my trusty deckhand on board. We have a chance to catch two.
Oh, that's just mean, Todd. He's had two other deckhand opportunities, you know, just in the past 24 hours. It's really, really hurtful. Kind of excited, though. We've talked about some of the efforts on behalf of the Pacific Salmon Commission to enhance some specifically Chinook resources in this neck of the woods, Todd. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see an additional 2 million smolts, ostensibly for prey availability for the southern resident killer whales. But still, if we see smolt plants in excess of 4 million coming out of the Wallace Rack, boy, I tell you what.
Oh, buddy.
In the middle of this decade, we're going to see a Skycomish summer Chinook season like we haven't seen in a long time.
We could see 20,000 Chinook or, in the snow.
Or forever, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's what, you
quite
know,
possible. I mean, that's not.
Is always half full or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's, you know, very good reason right there to be optimistic about the future. I mean,
well,
I know it's a weird concept, but they put more fish in the river and more come back.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it's just,
it's a
yeah.
cool concept. So.
It is, and it took a fisheries biologist, you know, a biometrician, fishing guide there, Todd Daniels, to crank this thing up. All right, Todd, will you keep in touch, buddy? Yeah, we're definitely going to reach out, and that's exciting about the summer runs and the callets because that fishery is so much fun. And you're right, summer runs, dude,
oh my God.
They get so trouty. They're out of the water as much as they're in it, and that sky fishery. Within the next few years, that Skycomish fishery could definitely blow up. Go check him out, Tall Tales Guide Service. He's Todd River Dog Daniels.
Thanks,
thank
Todd.
You for your time, buddy. We're,
see you, well, buddy.
Now, get that kicker handle out of your gazunkas and get your guys into some fish, okay? Will you do that for me?
We're trying, man. We're trying. Oh, there we go. We do have one on right now. So.
All right. Nice. All right. Radio fish. Bring it up.
Dang it. We got to go. Oh, it'd be nice.
Yeah,
to
we got
to
go. All right, buddy. Go get him.
Darn it.
Go get him. Coming up next. The hottest report I heard all week and techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Head over to Roy Robinson Chevrolet and find up to 17% MSRP cashback on select 2021 Chevy models such as the Trailblazer, Equinox, Traverse, Blazer, Trax. Then drive your new rig over to Roy Robinson RV and find the lowest prices on Class A diesels, Class Bs, Class Cs, Super Cs, toy haulers, fifth wheels, pop-up trailers, campers, and a whole lot more at RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Before I get to a couple of picks here, I want folks to jump onto aftco.com, A-F-T-C-O, and check out the sharpest fillet knife ever. Greg Stosberry was on the steelhead trip I was just on down to Tillamook here the last couple of days, and he retired from AFCO, helped develop a lot of the gear that they use, hardcore saltwater fishermen and a bass fisherman as well, and he brought some of these fillet knives with him. I've been seeing these online, and you never know what the quality is or whatever. These things are razor blades. And I'm talking, you have to be careful. They're so sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Really right. Thin blade. You don't
and
sharpen
we're
them
at,
with any
kind We're looking
kind
at Rob
of belt
on FaceTime,
sander.
And he's got two Band-Aids on. So I know
you,
and
these
part of his
are
thumb
nasty,
is missing.
And they're coated with a titanium nickel coating, so they're really, they slide through the fillets really nice. Check those fillets out. I promise you, you won't be sorry if you order one of those. They got some cool other gear, too. They've got a Reaper sweatshirt that's designed just for fishermen. That's pretty cool. I'm going to order a couple here before I go to Alaska. But anyway, jump on AFCO.com and check out that fillet knife. I'm telling you, it is killer.
That's that AFCO X Boker, that one?
There's that one. There's a couple different kinds in there. But, yeah, that's the fillet knife. And it's got a coating on it. That's just, and you don't sharpen it with a belt. You don't sharpen it with a belt sharpener. It has to go on a stone. It's incredible. But all the boats down in the Gulf Coast, all those tuna boats, those charter boats running out of Venice and whatever, they're all running those knives and really having good luck with them. But as far as really where this week, Springers through tomorrow on the Columbia River, the rest of today and tomorrow, and it's been okay down there. You guys did well. You know, I tell you what, we crossed I-5 in Portland a couple days ago, heading down to go steal a fish. There was nobody up there. It's like, okay, everybody's down below. Sounds like it's been a Kaplamet, Skamakaway kind of drill down there. But that goes through tomorrow. And then the freshwater fishing, folks, is kicking off. Kokanee and American Lake. Lake Stevens, actually most of the Kokanee lakes are kicking off right now. If you've got a lake nearby with some Kokanee in it with these warmer afternoons, they're starting to go. Bass fishing's taking off. They're planting trout in all the lakes here. So the freshwater thing, it's go time on the freshwater front. And the walleye, too, on the east side are in spawn over there. They spawn between these two full moons. So that last full moon kicked them off, and they'll spawn right on through till the next full moon, April 26th. So that's happening right now. Folks are getting geared up for halibut. April 22nd is our first halibut day here in the Eastern Strait. Unbelievable. I mean, this is one of the best opportunities we've had in decades here to catch halibut, in the Strait. I know folks are already getting geared up. Definitely get in there and get your gear right now, because I've mentioned this for the last couple of months. Between shipping issues and COVID shutdowns and everything else, gear is at a premium right now. There just isn't the quantities out there that we normally have. And so definitely get out right now, get your gear that you need, get stocked up for some of this stuff. This is the youth weekend too, youth turkey hunt weekend. I know there's quite a few folks out this weekend getting the kids out, and then the opener's on the 15th. So if you can't get a kid out this weekend or have a kid to take out hunting with you, get out and do some scouting, because it's going to be here before you know it. And the numbers look pretty good up in northeast Washington. And the flocks are expanding, too, in the Okanagan, Tianaway, down the Klickitat. The flocks are expanding. The population is definitely growing in those areas, too. So
even if you don't have a kid, just go get one. There's tons of them. Go grab one, somewhere. Take them turkey hunting.
And get them involved. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, get them involved.
Hey, on the halibut stuff, look. I don't want to.
I sense a Joe Pyburn halibut bait report.
Yeah, go get your bait, because look, there's no small bait out there, which has put a lot of pressure on the bigger stuff. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'm not saying we're gonna run out, but get it sooner than later. I mean, you know, I've sold way more blue and purple because there's no small bait for that springer season down there. So go get your halibut bait. Get out there and Holiday Sports, John Sporting Goods, you know, Harbor Marine, they all have it. Triangle Market.
If you're going to limit me to one halibut bait and one only for the rest of my life, it is a big black label herring.
Yeah.
With a couple of nasty, huge 12-aught Gamakatsu hooks on 200-pound leader in the mythical three-way swivel. With the Zach Arneson Tin Shed Marine Signature Model Glow Cod Weight.
That's a good one. But there's a lot of stuff though, and if you're running multiple rods, sardines, a big greasy sardine. They're always oily.
Yep.
Those big squid, those are always good because they're tough. If you're fishing in a spot where there's, you know, a bunch of little flounders or something picking at your bait, those squid are great. Octopus. And mackerel. I mean, sometimes those big mackerel that we have, you just fillet, do some diagonal cuts, so it kind of opens them up in the current, and those things just stink, and the halibut love them.
I know a lot of folks that will take a knife and slit the vent on a big herring, and then they'll pump the belly full of oil too.
They'll pump
the herring oil.
Yeah.
And that, as that thing's spinning and flopping around down there, that herring oil is just going downstream. And it's like baiting bears, you know. They smell that stuff from a mile away and work their way up there.
I'm pretty sure the statement I'm about to make has never made airplay on Seattle airwaves before, but here it is. If you do catch a large halibut, the FCC, the FBI, and the CIA are coming after us out of this one. But no, if you get a big halibut in a box and you look and you see that his stomach is bulging, there's something in his stomach.
Go get it.
It's an octopus.
Yeah.
Go get that thing and get it out and get its tentacles out and get it on your gear. And there's not very opportunities to watch an octopus get eaten twice, but that will happen right there, dude. Seriously, look though. Look what's in their stomach because you'll see it in their stomach. There's something big and it's either that or a salmon head or something.
Well, look, I love to sell bait, but I will say this. The bait that you can catch or pull out of a halibut stomach that was just in the water. Just like Dave Lee said, if he wants to fish worms, he catches the worms near the piece of water he's fishing, right?
Yeah.
That's what a psychopath fisherman Dave is. He's like, if I'm fishing for sturgeon out here, I'm getting worms from this yard right here.
So these are, and now Rob Ensley's last words from his Gig Harbor office, because he's coming to us.
Yeah.
Maybe coming to us next week from Craig, Alaska.
That's the plan. We're planning on me being on the show next weekend. So for all intents and purposes, I will. But we will be in Alaska from here through early September. Doing the deal, and I'm excited, man. I'm fired up to get back to Alaska and get back to doing what I'm a lot better at, fishing. Radio is really not my
deal,
folks. But
stay tuned for the John Clayton Show at 8 o'clock. If you missed any of the show, jump on MineEarthWest.com, hit theOutdoorLine.com, download that free 710 app, and you can get full hours right there. At Joey Pyburn, at Rob Ensley, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. For Rob Ensley down at Gig Harbor, for Joey Pyburn here in the Roy Robinson Studios, Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios. I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.